Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll give you a chance to win and be registered for an Alex Gordon autographed bat, also $250 from the Royals team store. We'll also be joined by Rich Gannon. He will join the show coming up in just a little bit. So we just had Andy Vasquez. He has covered the New York Jets. I think with Le'Veon Bell, it's very simple. Do you put the problems that Bell had more on the offensive line or more on Bell? Because it is very difficult to argue the raw numbers and the data on Le'Veon Bell. He was not very productive the last season and a half with the Jets. Again, how much of that do you put on him and maybe him just being done, or how much do you put on the offensive line? Here's what Andy Vasquez had to say.
More of the blame goes on the offensive line, but you know, Le'Veon was admittedly not as motivated as he should have been last year after getting paid, and you know, his weight was probably an issue early in the season, which is why he came back this year weighing what he said was less than he had, you know, since high school, and 20 pounds less than he did last year. So I think it's partially on him. But also, it wasn't a good situation for the way he runs the ball. It just wasn't a good fit in Adam Gase's offense, and I think that's on Gase that he never figured out a way how to get Bell involved.
That's what I'm attributing a lot of Le'Veon Bell's problems to. Now, I'm not here arguing that Le'Veon Bell, if you sign him now for a one-year deal, you're going to get the same Le'Veon Bell that the Steelers got in 2016, but I think a lot of it was the offense. I think he and head coach Adam Gase were never on the same page, so it was just a bad situation from the jump. I also think that their offensive line and the skill position parts around him were just so bad where I don't know how many running backs seem to flourish in that mold. So I'm looking at Le'Veon's age. He's only 28. I look at sort of the wear and tear. He's taken less than 300 hits on his body the last 3 years because of sitting that year out. I still think that Bell's a productive player in the NFL. Is he elite? Certainly not. Can he be good? Can he be capable? Is he one of the better backup running backs in the NFL? I would say yes, especially when you factor in the money. I'm all for it.
When guys are out there and available like this, I kind of ask myself, what if one of the teams the Chiefs are competing with were to sign him? Like, would that worry me? So what if he went to the Patriots? What if he went to the Steelers? What if he went to the Titans? What if he went to one of those teams? My answer would be, yeah, I don't really care. He's a guy that he 3 years ago decided that it would be best for him to hold out. And he didn't play the entire season. The year after that, he averaged 3 yards per carry. And then this year, the Jets decided that he wasn't good enough for them. So we got a few texts that are saying, why would you not add talent, especially if you can get him at minimum cost? Because I just don't think that he's that much more talented. Now, are you saying is he more talented than Darrell Williams, who the Chiefs have doing that right now? My answer, I guess, would be yes, but it's so negligible that I don't think it's worth bringing in a guy that, like you said, in the past has kind of thought higher of himself than probably his skill set actually is worth. And the Chiefs don't need that. Like, the Chiefs have Clyde Edwards-Helaire that won the Super Bowl without a running game last year. So if he was a linebacker, right, if this was a linebacker version, if this was the secondary version of Le'Veon Bell, I'd be all about it. Yeah, get a veteran on the Chiefs, see what happens. I just don't think they need him.
I'm willing to roll the dice on Le'Veon Bell. Sean's not willing to. What do you guys think? Phone line 913-576-7610. Let's head to the phone lines. Eric, you called into the drive. Go ahead, my man.
Black Bart Scott, can't wait. He's going to be a great addition to the team. Help the rookie out. You know, they said he was, Andy said he was a great blocker, and we have time to get him into the scheme and work him in. The closer we get to the playoffs, you know, it open him up a little bit more and a little more. I don't see a downside to this at all. And, you know, Sean, you were kind of times, bro. I'm not going to trust you on this one. I think Carrick is right. We got to go for this.
That's Eric calling
in. His phone cut out. What did he call me?
I didn't hear what he said either. I will say this,
though. I don't think it was a compliment, though.
I also think that they are interested in improving the backup running back. Like, we know for a fact they were interested in Adrian Peterson. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN confirmed it. Chiefs showed some level of interest in Adrian Peterson this week because Eric Bieniemy was his running back coach in Minnesota, but because of the Thursday game in which they started the season, it kind of messed up a little bit. They didn't think that it was worthwhile. Herbie Tiopi, who covers the Chiefs for the Star, also confirmed that there was mutual interest between the Chiefs and Adrian Peterson. So we do know that they are interested in bringing up a backup running back, and from Sam Mellinger, who's super plugged in. So he tweeted just a little bit ago, whatever it's worth, I'd be very surprised if the Chiefs didn't have interest in Le'Veon Bell, but they also won't be the only ones. I don't think that Le'Veon Bell is going to a bad team. Now, I could be wrong. I remember whenever Gerald McCoy was a free agent, I thought he was going to sign with the contender, and he signed with Carolina. But I think if you're Le'Veon Bell, and right now money isn't the issue because you are making almost $6 million the rest of the season, and you've made $8 million so far this year, when you factor in the prorated salary of what you've already been paid, it's about finding the right fit. Nobody in the NFL has given Le'Veon Bell a $4 million contract this year. He's signing for the veteran minimum. He's signing for $1 million. So now it's about finding the offense that you think fit. And think about the running backs that Andy Reid has sort of revitalized. Aren't it guys with the same skill set of Le'Veon Bell? Like, aren't those the kind of backs that Andy Reid has gotten the most out of? Like, I think this is a no-lose situation if you're Kansas City. If Bell stinks, if he's a problem, then cut him and move on from him. Like I said this before the break, like these are the kind of moves that the Patriots rolled the dice on. If it doesn't work, then cool. You spent no money. It's no investment. It's not like Le'Veon Bell is going to come in here in 2 weeks and undo all the chemistry that the Chiefs have built over the years. Like I look at this as being a no-brainer dice roll.
Again, I told you the Patriots had to do those type of things because they didn't have as much talent. So when it worked for them, cool. But the Chiefs don't have to win their Super Bowl the same way that the Patriots did. And yeah, they've tried to go out. We saw last offseason they tried Carlos Hyde. That didn't work. They tried LeSean McCoy. That didn't work. I just think that it's adding a piece that you don't really need.
I think Bell's better than where LeSean McCoy was last year. Like I'm higher on Bell's talent than LeSean
McCoy.
Based
on what? Because LeSean McCoy, and you said, well, besides his fumbles, he still averaged 4.8 yards per carry. That's a yard, and that's a lot more. Like this dude, Le'Veon Bell, averaged 3.1 yards per carry last time we saw him.
McCoy also played in Kansas City's offense last year, where Le'Veon Bell played in the Jets' offense last year. Like, I don't know if it's a fair one-to-one comparison.
He also sat out an entire season.
It was in a much better situation than one Le'Veon Bell was in. Like, I look at it as if you're the Chiefs, and for the dollar amount, I don't really see the negatives, to be honest with you. Let's head to the phone lines. Double J, you called into the drive. Go ahead, Double J.
What up, C-Dot? What up, Sean?
What up, man?
Appreciate. Thank you for taking the call. I just want to say, I'm all in now on winning and maybe on Bell. Like last year, we went out and signed to Suggs after Arizona cut him last year. He was all compared to the Royals a little bit. He was when we got Johnny Cueto when we won the World Series. Le'Veon Bell, getting him would be like getting things up with. Help your offense. That's good. That's stupid. I mean, can't hurt. Why not?
All right, if he's Cueto, then I'm all for it. If he's Terrell Suggs, then what the hell are we talking about?
He's not Zobrist. I don't want to equate him to Johnny Cueto or Ben Zobrist. I think he is an improvement over the roster at a minimal spot. You're right. If this was a linebacker, we'd be having a very different conversation.
I'd be all for it.
I'm always for adding talent to the team. I think that he is a better running back than anybody you have on the team, not named Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I also don't think the gap between Edwards-Helaire and a healthy, motivated Le'Veon Bell is maybe as big as you think. But again, I only am interested in Le'Veon Bell if he is coming in with the mindset of, I'm a solid number two. Like, we were doing better to forget it. I think he's going to Tennessee. I think Tennessee makes a whole lot of sense for Le'Veon Bell. Solid number one, really well-coached team, but a team that's also committed to running the football, and you can definitely find some room for him. I'm just thinking about it. I also think from Kansas City standpoint and how they're always interested in putting more parts around the quarterback and giving him more options, Le'Veon Bell would be another option here. Like, he's an improvement over Darrell Williams. Like, I think think they want to get Darrell Williams involved. He's just not very good. He has 11 carries for 36 yards this season. Darwin Thompson, let's just go ahead and let's not kid ourselves. He's not a part of the offense anymore. He is a special teams guy. They're not handing him the football anymore. Le'Veon Bell would be part of the offense. He'd get 5 to 7 touches a game. I think he's capable.
If I'm Le'Veon Bell, I'm on my hands and knees. I'm begging to come to Kansas City. I mean, you're telling me that I played with one of the most stable organizations in football in Pittsburgh, and I talked and ate my way out of there and ended up with the Jets, and that didn't work out well, which I think a lot of people saw coming from the time that he signed the contract. And now you come to Kansas City where the expectations aren't very high. Like you said, if it doesn't work, they just cut you. You get a win a Super Bowl ring. You play with Pat. You play with Andy. Yeah, I mean, it's a great situation for him. So if I'm Le'Veon Bell, I come running toward the Chiefs. But if I'm the Chiefs, I don't go running toward Le'Veon Bell.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll catch up with Rich Gannon, our MVP and All-Pro. We'll ask him how much does he think that Le'Veon Bell has left in the tank. We'll also get his take on Chiefs and Raiders. But coming up next, who are the biggest contenders to Kansas City? We'll discuss it. Stick around. It's a drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win an Alex Gordon autograph bat, also $250 to the Royals team store. We'll also be joined by Rich Gannon, but let's talk about a little AFC and who the potential contenders could be.
Yeah, so I think that right now it's actually a little bit more wide open than we anticipated as we were heading into the season. So I think that if you're trying to say, like, who's the closest to the throne, right, to the Kansas City Chiefs, there's probably, like, 7, 8, 9 different answers right now. I think I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans, and maybe this is just a victim of what I saw last night, but if you want to talk about an impressive win, if you want to talk about being able to go against the team that everybody else was talking about, because when it came to Titans conversation, it was they couldn't stay clean, they couldn't stay healthy, and they're screwing the entire NFL with this COVID thing. With the Bills, it was they got this great young coach. They were coming off they went 11, 12 games last year. Josh Allen's in the MVP conversation. And Tennessee put it on them last night. So everything we were saying about the Bills, I think we need to start to say about Tennessee. Maybe, man, even more so than Baltimore and some of these NFC teams, if we're just talking about who's the worst matchup, like head-to-head on a neutral field, who's the scariest? I think it's the Tennessee Titans.
This is where I find it really hard to pick Tennessee is. I think Tennessee is probably the 2017 Kansas City Chiefs. Is there anybody that would pick the 2017 Kansas City Chiefs over the 2020 Kansas City Chiefs? I think that they're a well-coached team. I think they run the ball effectively. I think they get good quarterback play. But you really want me to think in a playoff game that Ryan Tannehill is potentially capable enough to win 3 consecutive games and go to the Super Bowl?
I mean, he won, 2 games last year, including beating Baltimore on the road? I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, just... I'm not picking Tennessee as the biggest contender. If we're talking any team in the NFL where I don't have to take AFC teams.
Yeah, take anybody. Who's the biggest threat to the throne?
Tennessee's not the second best team in the NFL, not even close to being the second best team in the NFL.
But there's a difference between being the best team and the worst matchup for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I would say New England with Cam Newton are better than Tennessee, and I think they match up better. I would also say Pittsburgh. What happened to Pittsburgh? You love Pittsburgh. You're off the Pittsburgh wagon now for Tennessee. I can't believe it. The answer is the Green Bay Packers. I think the Green Bay Packers are currently the best team in the NFL. They've got the quarterback play to do so. Let's see what happens when they get Aaron Jones back, if they can run the football effectively. If we're saying is who is the biggest contender to win the Super Bowl, not name the Kansas City Chiefs, I think the answer is the Green Bay Packers. That's the team I would take.
I actually was going to take the Packers or the Patriots, that they're both really good options, but I'm going to take the Seahawks. They got probably the best quarterback, not named Patrick Mahomes, in the NFL right now. That offensive line is starting to gel, so if they were to play the Chiefs, I think they could neutralize the Chiefs' pass rush because they have a good offensive line. They have an okay run game, but who cares? They have great wide receivers. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are excellent, and David Moore is a good slot receiver. I have my concerns about their secondary, but when Jamal Adams gets healthy, that secondary will shore itself up. This team has all the pieces to beat Kansas City, and they have the only other quarterback that I think can go toe-to-toe with Mahomes. Seattle's the answer in the NFC, and the AFC, the answer is the Patriots, the healthy Cam Newton.
I'm surprised to hear you guys say that. Okay, so if we played a quick game of, I wouldn't be that surprised or I would be absolutely shocked. Let's say the Chiefs are one of the teams in the AFC Championship game and Carrington, the other team, is the Buffalo Bills. Surprised or shocked?
I wouldn't be surprised.
What if it's New England?
I wouldn't be surprised if any of those teams. But to
Cleveland.
Me, yeah, I'd be surprised.
Shocked. I'd be shocked.
I'd be surprised.
Indy.
Yeah, surprised. They're not getting quarterback play.
Tennessee.
Shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked.
You'd be shocked? The Titans are, oh, my goodness.
That win yesterday got you firmly on the Titans wagon.
Good.
Firmly on the Titans
because
wagon.
Because I was on the Bills bandwagon because Rob convinced me of it. Then they got out the gates 4-0.
I don't know if it's any reason to be off the bandwagon because of yesterday.
They got their ass kicked.
They got thumped yesterday.
Don't let a one-game sample size change your mind this much. But, I mean, the Bills are still really good.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo's a 12-4 football team. 13-3 football team.
Maybe I'm being too harsh on Buffalo. Maybe you guys aren't giving enough credit to Tennessee.
Tennessee's
14-4 right in their last 18 games. And they beat the Chiefs. They beat Baltimore and they beat Buffalo.
I guess I'm just hearing your question as what team other than Kansas City is the most likely team to win the Super Bowl? And it's sure as hell not the Tennessee Titans as the second most likely team to win the Super Bowl. That's what I'm surprised that you got them that high on the list. That's what's surprising to me.
Again, they're 4-0. Like in the AFC, who has convinced you?
You ride with Ryan Tannehill when it matters?
I'm asking you, who has convinced you based on their play? If you want to say Pittsburgh, cool. But besides that, based on their actual play, who has played better than Tennessee?
I still think Pittsburgh is better than them.
That's what I just said.
I think Pittsburgh's better than them. And if New England had Cam Newton, I would pick New England
exactly.
in the game over them.
Okay, that's ifs, ands, and buts. You didn't answer my question.
I
would still take the Bills or the Titans. The Titans have beaten three.
The Bills. You say the Bills have played better, even though they lost last night by 3+
touchdowns. They played three slappies who they squeaked by three different times. And then on the weirdest COVID week ever, where the Bills didn't even know if they were or weren't going to play, they throttled them. I don't put much stock into the COVID stuff. They barely beat the Broncos, Jags, and Vikings. This team is fraudulent. Their division just sucks.
I don't think they're fraudulent.
Fraudulent as a Super Bowl contender.
I push back on them being that. That's what I push back on.
Again, and we're talking about right now. Like, as the season goes along, all these teams are going to take shape, and there's a good chance that Baltimore doesn't lose for the next month and a half. And then we look back at it and go, yeah, it's still the Baltimore Ravens. But based on what I've seen so far, because all you guys are talking about is the same thing at the beginning of the year. Like, at the beginning of the year, if we said that it was Pittsburgh or we said it was Baltimore, right, nobody said it was Tennessee.
But tomorrow, if the Patriots play the Tennessee Titans, would you pick the Titans to beat the Patriots?
100, in your words, 1,000%.
By the way, I'm looking at the Titans' schedule.
I wouldn't pick the Titans to win.
Holy crap, this schedule is soft. They might be the one seed. They got here are the tough games left for them. Steelers, Ravens, Packers. That's it. Those only games that are tough. This is a 13-3 team because the schedule got soft.
You
want
to tell us the other teams? Who do they play?
They got the Texans at home next week. Steelers, I mentioned. At Bengals, Bears at home. Colts twice. Browns at home. Lions at home.
They got Baltimore week 11.
Jags.
I'd be really curious to see that game. Baltimore, it's a long time from now.
Baltimore is one of their three legitimate games left. This is a one seed because of the schedule.
Yo, if they beat Baltimore, then everybody's – and that's late in the season. So, again, I'm talking about right now, based on what I've actually seen, the body of work that these teams have put on. It's kind of like you're saying with the Packers. Like, the Packers at the end of the season might end up being a, you know, a 11-5 team, something like that. Maybe they cool off. But based on what we've seen so far, I agree with you. They've been the best team in football so far.
Are you surprised the AFC is as good as it is?
I'm surprised there are this many teams with this good of a record, because most of the time when you're five games in, there's a little bit of separation. And right now, there are six teams with the same record or better than the Chiefs. So the Chiefs are 4-1. Don't look now, but Tennessee's 4-0, Pittsburgh's 4-0, Baltimore's 4-1, Cleveland's 4-1, and the team we've been talking about the last few minutes, Buffalo's 4-1. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we can definitively say right now who, because would we all agree, at least in this room, that Kansas City is the best team and the Baltimore is still the second best? Like, when push comes to shove?
Yeah, but I don't think that there's a really big gap between Baltimore and who you would have as probably fifth in the AFC.
And I'm with you there. That's the part that's actually surprised me the most, is that it's still Kansas City.
Because, like, I actually think, like, tomorrow, if Tennessee and Baltimore played each other, I think it's almost a coin flip game. Like, I think you got to give credit to what Tennessee did last year.
I agree.
Think Baltimore starts off a little bit earlier. I guess maybe, again, I was just pushing back more on them being the ultimate contender for them. It's hard for me to come to a point where I'm going to trust that Ryan Tannehill is going to continuously win in playoff games, and sort of I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, they're 13-4 with Ryan Tannehill as their start. Like, at some point,
14-4 now.
They're 13-4 after yesterday. Like, we're expecting that at some point the other shoe is going to drop for Tennessee, right? They're not a team that's going to go 25-6 with Ryan Tannehill as their starting quarterback. Like, I just don't believe it. I don't really trust it a whole lot.
Did you hear that schedule Rob just read to you? And I do think that Mike Vrabel is actually a pretty good coach.
I'm not arguing as much about the record as much as just quality of play and sort of how I evaluate the team. Like last year with Green Bay, it was obvious that Green Bay wasn't that good, that they were sort of propped up. Once we saw them play teams that were on their same tier,
but in that streak that you're talking about, it's not like they just beat the Bears and the Bengals every single week. We're talking back to the Titans real quick. In that stretch that you're talking about, when they've won 13 out of their last 17 games, that includes beating the Chiefs, Baltimore, and Buffalo. So it's not like you can look at them and say, well, they haven't proven that they can beat anybody. They certainly have.
Yeah, I agree with you. Do you think Tennessee can win the Super Bowl?
No, I don't. I mean, honestly, if you're making me go through the AFC and pick a team other than the Kansas City Chiefs that I could actually tell you will win the Super Bowl, I mean, do you think Buffalo can win the Super Bowl? Do you think New England can win the Super Bowl?
I don't think that Buffalo can. I do think New England can. I don't trust Josh Allen, though. So you and I are just different on when it comes to Josh Allen.
Yeah, I don't believe in any of these teams. The Colts stink. I tried to tell you about Phillip Rivers, Baltimore. I mean, the answer, like, we're trying to get creative here. And if I had a free $1 million, I'm just being dead honest with you, outside of Kansas City, I'd probably take Baltimore. Something about the fact that I've seen them play the Chiefs 3 times head-to-head, and the last time was such a beatdown, and the game was in Baltimore. I just think that once Baltimore comes to the speed bump that is the Kansas City Chiefs, they can't get over it.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Rich Gannon, and we'll give you a chance to win and be registered for an Alex Gordon autographed baseball bat and $250 to the Royals team store. All you got to do is stick around and call whenever you hear Denny Matthews' voice. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Rob, really quickly, as we wait for Rich Gannon to call in, am I the only one that thought that Ryan Tannehill was like 3 yards past the line of scrimmage when he threw that final touchdown pass yesterday? Like, I started to think that I was crazy. Like, I know that the blue line isn't like the official line, and, you know, it's like it's subjective and it's not 100%, but Ryan Tannehill was a full 2 body lengths ahead of the blue line and then threw a touchdown pass yesterday. Then they review it, and then they say he wasn't past the line. I'm sitting there thinking, is something wrong with me? Like, I got good vision, I think. Sean, you just got dirty vision. I'm sitting there watching, and I felt like I was crazy. They just showed the play again on PTI, and they showed the Tannehill touchdown play. I've never felt more crazy, the fact that they said he was behind the line of scrimmage on that play.
Yeah, it did feel like you had those old-school 3D glasses on. I'm talking about, you know, the plastic ones they used to give you back with the little blue and red thing. I thought that it was pretty obvious, but apparently it wasn't.
So Jeremy Fowler of ESPN just tweeted this out. Le'Veon Bell is prioritizing role in offense and chances to win among his free agent evaluation. Many people around the league believe that the Chiefs will have a lot of interest because of the fit, but Bell also trains in Miami, so perhaps there will be Dolphins consideration. I know a lot of people that think the Dolphins make a lot of sense for Le'Veon Bell. I just wonder if Le'Veon wants to be in a situation in which in 2020 he ain't going to win, and that certainly is the situation in Miami.
I honestly feel like this conversation's being had in like 13 different markets across the country right now. Like, hey, Le'Veon Bell's available. He's a pretty good running back when he's right. He's willing to play for $1 million. Do we want him? Like, I don't think that Kansas City is unique to asking this question.
I agree. I think any team that could potentially use a boost in the running game, has the available cap space and a locker room strong enough and has a chance to win, I think they should be interested in Le'Veon Bell. It's going to be a veteran minimum $1 million deal. I don't know why you wouldn't be interested in Le'Veon Bell if that's the situation. It's a very low risk, potentially high reward kind of move. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest, former NFL MVP, former All-Pro. He is also on the call this week for Texans and Titans. Very happy to be joined by Rich Gannon. Rich, it's been a long time since we talked to you after the Chiefs loss.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes it's the wake-up call, and I just, you know, look, this is when you beat a team as consistently and, quite frankly, as badly as they've done with the Raiders, you know, you get a team there that is chomping at the bit to get a piece of the defending world champions. And I got the sense just in watching the build up to that game, there's a lot of stuff that came out of Las Vegas now about the fact that, you know, the Chiefs have dominated this series, that that's not really much of a rivalry game anymore for the Chiefs because, you know, the Chiefs, you know, have pretty much owned the Raiders. And, you know, 7 straight wins at Arrowhead. Derek Carr's never won at Arrowhead. And I think he was tired of jumping on that plane in Kansas City and heading back home with his tail between his legs. And they just, I mean, and that's really what's going to happen, you know, I think, for the Chiefs every time out. You're going to get everybody's fastball. You're going to get everybody's best effort. And I'm not just talking about on Sunday. I'm talking about in the build-up to get there. I'm talking about on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday in terms of how guys prepare and the extra study that they put in. And they're trying to find ways to disrupt Mahomes and to, you know, keep the lid on the explosive plays. I mean, there's a lot of work that went into that one. And you know, I got the sense that, you know, when the Chiefs had the lead, I think they just felt like, you know, we can just pump the brakes here a little bit. It's the Raiders, and we'll just finish them off. And the Raiders played significantly better football in the second half. It was very noticeable, especially defensively, which had been a real problem for the Raiders. But they did some really good things, and now all of a sudden, you know, you've got a team in the Raiders that's starting to build some confidence and momentum within this division.
Rich, what was really surprising to me about Sunday's game was how the Raiders really controlled the line of scrimmage on both the offensive and defensive line. They completely neutralized the Chiefs' defensive line, and they controlled the line of scrimmage themselves and really got pressure after Mahomes. That was maybe the most startling thing to me in Sunday's outcome.
It was, because that hasn't happened in the past. And I think if you start with the Raiders' defense, I mean, they've been pushed around, especially in the running game. And, you know, when you look at what happened, I mean, Edwards-Helaire, 10 carries for 40 yards. I mean, he needed more touches. I think he needs more touches in game. They got behind a little bit in the down and distance. They weren't as good on third down, and I think at times they did a good job getting Patrick Mahomes off the spot. You know, they got him moving. They flushed him from the pocket. They hit him a little bit, even when they didn't sack him. And I always say the hits and the hurries and the knockdowns can be just as effective, because it affects the timing and the rhythm up for the quarterback. And you know, we know when you give Patrick Mahomes time to set his feet and be in rhythm, he can be like an assassin. And so I thought that was a big part of it. A couple of the big plays, the interception was a big play. Not only the interception, but the interception return, which always set up the score for the Raiders. And you know, on the other side of it, you know, I think you got to give some credit to Derek Carr. I mean, Carr has played really well this year. I think he's thrown 11 touchdowns and just the one interception. He's doing it with young players at wide receiver. And this kid, Henry Ruggs, Henry Ruggs is the Raiders' version of what the Chiefs have in Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's why they went out and got him. I mean, they went out and got the fastest player in last year's draft, the guy that runs a 4.27 40, because they wanted someone that could match. You know, I think Andy Reid and Brett Veach have built a blueprint. You want to have the best offense in football, the most explosive offense, you better have team speed. And that's what the Raiders did when they went out and got Henry Ruggs.
Right now, we're talking to our MVP, Rich Gannon. Rich, it sounds like you think a win like this, Las Vegas firmly in the wild card conversation.
Only if they can continue to play and improve defensively. They've got a lot of second-year players that are playing on that defensive side of the ball. And, you know, I think that, to me, is a big part of it. How much can this group improve? Like, you remember last year, Carrington, we were talking, like, you know, the first 5 weeks of the season, it was all about Mahomes. It wasn't about the defense. And all of a sudden, you know, after the halfway point, the defense started getting healthy. The defense started figuring out the system, the terminology. The communication got better. The overall play got better. And then, you know, you look at how well that defense has played, you know, for the last, you know, the last 6 or 7 games of last year, including the playoffs and the start of this year. I think that is part of it. And I think, you know, you can see that with the Raiders. This is their third year in the system, but for a lot of these second-year players, you know, it's starting to make sense to them, and they're starting to play faster on that side of the ball.
Rich, now that the fifth week of the season is finally wrapped up after that weird Tuesday night football last night, I was checking the standings, and there's still 6 AFC teams with the same record or better than the Kansas City Chiefs. So if I ask you, as of today, who's the biggest problem in the AFC? Who do you think it is?
You know, you and I were just talking before we jumped on about the Tennessee Titans. Now, you know, the quarterback is a different player than he was the first 6 years in Miami. And I think he's really picked up where he left off a year ago. You know, he's played really well. He's thrown just one interception. He's completing over 70% of his throws. The running back is unusual. He is big, physical, powerful, and fast, and he's got a stiff arm like I've never seen. So, and then defensively, you know, they're well coached. So they're playing well. You know, I wouldn't count out the Colts. They've got a good defense. If the quarterback can take care of the football and not turn it over, I would tell you that that's a good team to keep an eye on. You know, you look at AFC East,
you know, I would never count out Belichick and the Patriots. And then if you want to look at the a division, I think is really good. Don't look past the AFC North, because you know, Ben Roethlisberger looks like the Ben Roethlisberger of old. He's healthy. They've got this Chase Claypool, had 4 touchdowns last week. The defense is still really good. And the Baltimore Ravens. You know, Lamar Jackson not playing as well as he did a year ago, but they've got a great defense that takes the ball away, creates field position. They can still run the football. And even Cleveland, I mean, under Kevin Stefanski, they may be the most improved team in the league through the first 5 weeks of the season.
How important does this Monday night game between the Chiefs and Bills become now that they both are coming off of a loss? We were talking about big game. Maybe they're both undefeated. We'll talk about that being the best team in the AFC. But at this point, Rich, it feels more like just making sure you keep your head above water and don't have back-to-back losses.
Yeah, and I think that when you get your nose rubbed in it, you have a tendency to come back, and the focus is a little bit better, the practice is a little bit better, the energy can be better, and that's going to be important. This is a well-coached, this will be a good matchup, because this is a really well-coached team that they're going to see. They did not play particularly well last night. The quarterback, I thought, was off. You know, he's got to learn not every throw doesn't have to be a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. When you look at Josh Allen, his accuracy wasn't very good last night. He was trying to fit balls into some tight windows, and he was throwing, like, fastballs. Guys on, like, these short crossing routes, he was knocking them over with the ball. So, to me, that's an area where he can get better. And then I just thought the mistakes. They had a lot of penalties last night. They had a lot of false starts. The communication, I think the focus wasn't very good. But trust me, when you throw that all out the window, because when it comes to the Chiefs, you're going to get everybody's best effort.
Right now, we're talking to Rich Gannon, our MVP, former All-Pro. He is also on the call this week for Texans and Titans. Rich, I feel like with Josh Allen, a lot of the confidence in the Bills really comes down to how much do you believe in their quarterback. The passing numbers have been there this season, but he continues to fumble the ball at an alarming rate. Where do you stand in being a believer in the Bills quarterback, Josh Allen?
I think he is going to be just fine. You know, he was playing really well up until last night. I think he's done a better job taking care of the ball. I think he's done a better job with decision-making. I think you can see a quarterback that's gotten better with his accuracy. His accuracy his first year was 52%. Last year, it jumped up to 58%. Before last night, he was over 70%. So he had been playing better. But I think they got behind a little bit. They got out of rhythm. He missed a couple throws. And then he just started to get crazy. And I think they need to rein him back in a little bit and make sure that, you know, I think he's such an emotional player. He makes a lot of plays with his feet. He's got a little bit of Phillip Rivers in him in terms of the competitiveness, but he's got to make sure that, you know, the decision-making. That, to me, last night, not very good and not something we've seen from him, certainly this year, because he's gotten a lot better, I think, with the decision-making, particularly in situational football. Third down, red zone, you know, backed up 2 minutes. He's been much better in these areas.
Rich, I want to ask you about Le'Veon Bell, as he's probably the top story in the NFL today as he got released from the New York Jets. You've covered the Jets. You've watched them. How much do you think that Bell has left in the tank, and do you look at him as someone who could potentially be a good fit in Kansas City?
I don't know about Kansas City, and I don't know if they – it's not just the player. I think it's also everything that comes along with it. You know, the practice habits, the conditioning, the – you know, how he fits into your locker room, all those things I think factor in. And for whatever reason right now, like, the guy just hasn't been very productive. He's been nicked. You know, you look at his lack of production, you could say, well, it's a bad offensive line. If they play with a young quarterback, the play calling's not great. You can say all those things. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, it's not good. And he hasn't been the same player since he left Pittsburgh. And I think, you know, missing that year was a bad thing. I think not playing in the preseason before the start of last year was a bad thing. And the guy just hasn't, you know, he hasn't been the same guy. And then you start asking yourself, where are his legs? Has he lost his legs? Has he lost the explosiveness? Has he lost the ability to finish? And if you get him now, what can you do with him now? We're already, you know, getting to the point where we're getting close to the halfway point of the season. How quickly can he learn the system? How quickly can he contribute? Where is he conditioning-wise? Is there an issue with something we don't know about in his physical? I mean, I think there's a lot of question marks when it comes to Le'Veon Bell.
I think what entices me about Le'Veon Bell is I think the new environment could really do him some good, whether it's in Kansas City or somewhere else. Like, that relationship with the Jets seemed strained from the very, very beginning. He and Coach Adam Gase never seemed to be on the same page. That I do wonder, now that you eliminate the money part, because he's going to make $5.5 million, whatever team he signs up with, I would say that he's going to a contender, and whatever he has left, you're going to get the best effort from him the rest of the season.
You bring up a good point. What I would say is this: important that he goes somewhere where there's some structure and there's some discipline, and not just in terms of the coach, and not just in terms of the quarterback, but also the locker room. You know, I think, like, Randy Moss is a great example. He's with the Raiders, and everyone says he's a bum and he can't play anymore. And then all of a sudden, he goes to New England with Belichick and Brady, and he's the model citizen. He's excited about football again. And he's putting up big numbers. And you say, well, what was the difference? Well, he went to a place where there's a lot of structure, and they're not going to let him misbehave, and he's going to be held accountable. And I think that's the kind of situation that Le'Veon Bell needs. He needs to go somewhere where there's going to be a lot of structure. You're not going to be able to freelance. You're not going to be able to do your own thing. You're going to have to, follow the rules. And I just think that's going to be important for a guy like that, who I think just needs structure. He needs a quarterback that's going to be very, like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, they're going to be very demanding of him. You're going to tell him where to be, what to do, and if you don't do it right, you're going to hear it from them. You don't have to wait until you get to the sidelines to hear it from your position coach. They will make the correction right on the field. And I think that's the kind of environment where Le'Veon Bell would really thrive.
That is our MVP, Rich Gannon, also a former All-Pro. He is also on the call for Texans and Titans this weekend. Rich, always good talking football with you. Thanks for coming on today.
Bro, you're the best. Talk to you soon.
Always good to catch up with our MVP, Rich Gannon, joining us on the show today. Jeremy Fowler just tweeted this out. Le'Veon Bell is prioritizing role in offense and chances to win among part of his free agency evaluation. Many people around the league believe that the Chiefs will have interest because of fit, but Bell trains in Miami, so perhaps the Dolphins are a consideration. Jeremy Fowler will be on the show coming up at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock, so we can learn a little bit more about the Chiefs' interest in Le'Veon Bell and if he makes any sense. I like what Rich said there at the end, where he talked about structure, accountability, following the rules, and also having a quarterback that is demanding. You and I might maybe disagree a little bit on why the Patriots made those kind of moves, but I think the Patriots always trusted that their culture was going to win out, that if you were Peyton Manning, hey, if I get you around me and you see how hard I work and you see kind of what I demand of everybody, you either get in line or you get lost. I think that Kansas City can have a very similar effect, especially with Andy Reid, and we know he takes chances on players like Le'Veon Bell. And I think Pat's getting to the point where he commands that kind of respect from other guys in the NFL. I'm the best player in the league. I make more money than everybody else. I kind of call the shots here, so I can vouch for you and we'll bring you in. But if you're not part of the program here, you will be out of here in a New York minute. Where I think the Chiefs are going to be at that point with Pat, where they'll kind of trust his judgment, especially that locker room with the amount of accountability that they have, where they can take chances on a player like Le'Veon Bell.
I'm honestly not that worried about the off the field stuff. It's not even off the field stuff. It's, you know, attitude, all those type things in this locker room. The reason that I don't have any interest in Le'Veon Bell from where I sit, I don't think he's good. Like, it's that simple. I don't think he's good. I think that if he was good, he would have helped the Jets win football games, and they would have kept him around for longer. Last year, he played in 15 games, and he averaged 3.2 yards per carry, and he had 3 touchdowns. I mean, I'm not trying to convince you of something the numbers don't tell you. We would all agree that any running back that plays in 15 games and averages 3.2 yards per carry and only scores 3 touchdowns, even if you're with the Jets, that's bad. The year before that, he sat out, and the year before that, he averaged 3.9 yards per carry, which is below the NFL average. So, I mean, we're talking about since 2016. I feel like that's what you're talking about. You're talking about that guy, and that's a long time ago, especially for a running back.
Someone on the text line said, didn't he have all of those things, including structure, in Pittsburgh? Absolutely. I also would say, though, the biggest reason why that relationship went sour was he wanted to be the highest paid running back in the NFL, and the Steelers weren't that interested in making him that. That's not going to be the issue here in Kansas City. Like, money's not going to be the issue. You already got the contract from the Jets. He is owed $5.5 million the rest of the season. Whether Le'Veon Bell decides, I don't want to play football anymore this year. I just want to stay at home with my kids and play Fortnite and watch the Goonies. He's going to make $5.5 million the rest of the season. So it's not like you're signing with Kansas City, New England, or whatever team it's going to be. And hey, the money's going to be an issue, or why am I making less than Clyde Edwards-Helaire? That's not going to be the issue. So to me, that eliminates a big problem with Le'Veon Bell. You're right. I'm not here trying to sell people that he's the same player that he was in 2016 or 2017 when he was arguably the best player in the NFL. I just think he's much better than what we've seen with the New York Jets. Like, I don't think he's this guy. Like, I don't think the 2019 Le'Veon Bell is real. I also look at some of the things that he did really well in having 66 catches and 78 out of the backfield, and I think about the versatility here. Like, you can use him as a slot wide receiver and he fits in here. You can use him as a change of pace back. You can use him as a goal line back, something that Clyde Edwards-Helaire hasn't been good at. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has gotten 7 carries inside the 5-yard line, has 0 touchdowns so far this season. He has not been a short yardage back. I think Le'Veon can do that with this team. There's a lot of positives for him as well.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do the math here. So there's 11 regular season games left, and that would be assuming that you're able to sign him in the next couple of days, bring him in, he clears the physical and all that stuff, and then he plays. Like, he learns enough of the system where go left, go right, hit the hole, and he would be playing as early as Monday. We're talking about now, what, 4 days from now, so I don't think that's possible. So let's take one game off that if he came to Kansas City. Now we're talking about 10 games, and you said earlier that you're not interested in him taking carries away from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just kind of being a change of pace, a goal line back. You said like 9-10 carries a game, so just doing the math, that would be 9 carries a game for the next 10 weeks. That's 90 carries. And let's say he averages what he's averaged the last couple of years, which is 3 yards and change. We're talking about 280 yards here for a team that won the Super Bowl. I'm not trying to downplay it. I just don't think it matters. Like, I saw this team not have a running game last year at all. Statistically, the worst running game entering the playoffs. Damian Williams was never confused with Barry Sanders, and they were still able to win the Super Bowl. So my whole thing is, with Le'Veon Bell, if this was 3 years ago, I'd be interested. 5 years ago, I'd be shouting, you got to make this move. But right now, the Chiefs don't need him, because he's not that good of a football player.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will be joined by Jeremy Fowler to get his opinion and see how much he thinks that Le'Veon Bell has left in the tank. He also is reporting that he believes that the league thinks that there will be some interest in Kansas City towards Le'Veon Bell. Let's react to what Rich Gannon had to say. Do you think that Sunday is much more about the Chiefs or the Raiders? I think it's much more about the Raiders and them potentially being a wild card team. I don't really think in the grand picture it means anything for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a 12-14 win football team. They're going to win the AFC West. They're going to be in the race for the one seed the entire year. I do think that we need to change sort of our perception on the Raiders and them being a contender for one of those wild card spots.
Yeah, when you were gone on Monday, I was saying that I thought that it was more the Chiefs than it was the Raiders, but now that we've talked it out for the last couple of days, I think you're right, and it's more the Raiders and the Chiefs. It's kind of like my Aunt Patty, right? Bless her heart, but everybody's always complaining about her, right? They say this about her, they say that, she screwed him, she's mean, she's rude, she was short with them, and Aunt Patty always says it's everybody else. Well, if everybody has that same opinion on you, it's probably you. So the fact that so many guys played bad for Kansas City, like, you could argue that it was the worst game for Tyrann Mathieu in a Chiefs uniform. For Frank Clark, it was one of Pat's worst games. Edwards-Helaire didn't do much. The offensive line was bad. Or might it be that the Raiders did something really good and had a really good game plan? So I'm going to give credit where credit is due and say it's probably Aunt Patty. It's probably more the Raiders than it is the Chiefs.
I mean, I was a little bit surprised at sort of the defense from the Raiders. Like, we gave you a lot of the numbers kind of looking into the game. I mean, they had been giving up 30 points a game. They gave up that in this game. Teams had been able to get had been able to convert on third downs. They were able to have the Chiefs consistently in third and long scenario. Like, the Raiders just played a little bit better defensively, especially after halftime. Like, the first half of the game, the Raiders are what I thought they were, a team that can score and move the ball up and down the field. They're also a team that can give up big plays and give up a lot of points. The second half effort was what I didn't really expect from the Raiders. Like, that was one of the better efforts you can have against a team like Kansas City. They controlled the tempo offensively, defensively, and Kansas City's touchdown just didn't really have a whole lot of meaning in the game. I was really surprised more about the second half Raiders than the first half.
Well, let's see what happens in this next game, because both teams kind of have a nice test to see if last week was real or if it wasn't, as The Raiders have to take on Tom Brady, and we know how Tom Brady is. Like, we've seen him be good, and we've seen him be bad this year. And then, obviously, the Chiefs take on Buffalo, who's been good the entire year until last night. So I think that we're going to be able to judge what happened last Sunday based on what happens this Sunday or Monday, respectively, with those two teams.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. He tweeted this out about Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is prioritizing role in offense and chances to win among part of his free agency evaluation. Many people around the league believe that the Chiefs will have interest in Bell because of fit. Bell trains in Miami, so perhaps the Dolphins also a consideration. We'll find out how interested Kansas City could be in Le'Veon Bell next with Jeremy Fowler, one of the top NFL reporters on ESPN. That's coming up next. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.